Welcome to Strength for Today, the preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church, an independent, fundamental, non-denominational Bible church in Winter Park, Florida, seeking to proclaim the whole counsel of God, to point all to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do all, as stated in Revelation 1:9, for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our speaker is John Pereira, pastor of Central Florida Bible Church. You may wish to have paper and pencil handy for important information following the message. For more information regarding prior broadcasts and other sermons by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. That's strengthfortoday.info. Now, here's Pastor John proclaiming the strength for today.
Thank you for tuning in to our Strength for Today Bible broadcast. Our radio ministry is now featured on both WHIM and WTLN Radio. We're on WHIM 1520 AM dial on Saturdays 10:30 in the morning, and also on WTLN 950 on the AM dial at 8:30 in the evening. I hope you'll continue to faithfully listen to our Strength for Today broadcast, and we'll find it a special blessing to your life. Today our topic is part two of the topic prophecy and you. Last week we had seen that while there are no signs for the rapture, there are signs given to us in the Word of God prophesying the coming tribulation period. And when we begin to see tribulation signs drawing near, we know that the rapture, which is pre-tribulational, is certainly drawing near. That's why we can preach a sermon entitled Signs for a Signless Event, because while the rapture is a signless event, there are signs that tell us that the tribulation period is coming very soon. We had seen last week sign number one from Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, the increase in knowledge and mobility of mankind. Then we had seen sign number two, the sign of deception, the rise and arrival of false prophets and cults. And we had seen the six earmarks of a cult. Then we saw sign number three, the sign of warfare, as predicted in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 6. Sign number four, the sign of famine and mass hunger, from Matthew 24 and verse 7. We'd like to begin our message today on the fifth sign. And I might add that if you have not yet received your part one message on prophecy and you, which will be completed today, I would encourage you to contact us at strengthfortoday.info. Further instruction will be coming in a few moments. Sign number five now. Let's begin. The sign of deadly pestilence. In the book of Matthew chapter 24 and verse 7, the words of Jesus are, "There shall be pestilences in many places." Just think of the pestilences that you have heard about in the news even recently. You hear about Ebola. You hear about AIDS. Even today, we're facing in the medical community antibiotic-resistant bacteria. We hear about the West Nile virus, even in our Central Florida area. Chemical contamination of groundwater, which is resulting in many carcinogenic effects in our groundwater in our country. Then we hear about bioterror and the threat of chemical warfare by the enemies of freedom and democracy. Yes, the sign of deadly pestilence is certainly looming around us. Then consider sign number six, as predicted by Jesus in Matthew 24 and verse 7, the sign of earthquakes and the increase in nature's upheaval. Jesus said there shall be earthquakes in many places. There have been more earthquakes this century than all other centuries combined. And yet Jesus said, when you see all of these signs, the key is all in Matthew 24. All of these signs in concert point to the arrival of the tribulation period as not being far down the road. Then sign number 7, the return of Jews to their homeland. You know, there have been 3 striking prophetic events in the decade of the 1940s. Number 1, when Israel became a nation. Secondly, when the United Nations was established. And thirdly, the World Council of Churches and its establishment. These 3 striking prophetic events form a microcosm of key players that are going to be highly visible during the tribulation period. You have Israel in her land, dwelling in unwalled villages, as the Word of God teaches in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38. Then you have the United Nations, which is a picture of the one world government as pictured in Revelation chapter 18. And then you have the World Council of Churches through the ecumenical movement, the one world church, prophesied in Revelation chapter 17. It's interesting, since 70 AD, when the Romans attacked Jerusalem and destroyed the temple, Israel has been scattered throughout the world. But since 1948, Israel has been in the land. But you know, even today, she does not have total control of Jerusalem, since the Arabs are still in control of the Dome of the Rock, that's the Mosque of Omar. And yet we're still living in the time of the Gentiles until Jesus comes to establish His kingdom. But we can see Israel in the land. We see the formation of the one world government all around us and the one world church as well. Sign number 8. That's the sign of instant international communication. In Revelation chapter 11 and verse 9, the Word of God talks about 2 witnesses that arrive at the beginning of the tribulation period after the rapture. These 2 supernatural figures proclaim the Word of God in the spirit and power of Elijah and Moses. And their ministry is the first half of the tribulation period, 1,260 days, 3.5 years, proclaiming the Word of God. But then they face martyrdom, and then a supernatural resurrection. And in Revelation 11 and verse 9, it says, "They of the people and kindred and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not permit their dead bodies to be put in graves." And I ask myself, how is it that John the Apostle could have written about all the peoples of the earth seeing an event in Jerusalem? It's interesting to read Bible commentaries of the 19th century and how they speculated as to how this could be. But with the arrival of satellite TV, we certainly can understand how this event could have worldwide eyewitness live transmission from the city of Jerusalem through satellite TV. Sign number 9, Israel's drive for a Middle East peace agreement. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38 and verse 14, we see that Israel is in a peace treaty mood. We see Israel earnestly desiring a peace treaty even in the days in which we are living in today. Well, the Bible tells us in the book of Daniel, chapter 9 and verse 27, that at the beginning of the tribulation period, the Antichrist is going to arrive, the false Christ, and he's going to confirm the covenant that has been made with many. He's going to confirm. That's the Hebrew word gabar, which means to strengthen. Strengthening an already failed covenant. The Antichrist is going to come, the man of sin. And he's going to be the shell answer man who will be able to resurrect a defeated covenant. And through his abilities, strengthen it and confirm that covenant so that Israel is dwelling in the land. And we see today that Israel is in a peace treaty mood. Oh, how we see that Israel, not yet having known nor received the Messiah, will fall prey to the deception of the coming Antichrist. Then sign number 10, the formation of a new Europe. As a result of the Maastricht Treaty in November of 1993, the European Union came into existence. And we see the present membership, including Belgium, Germany, France, Italy, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, Denmark, the Republic of Ireland, the United Kingdom, Greece, Portugal, Spain, Austria, Finland, and Sweden. And with the advent of 2002, the new Eurodollar was announced. And it's now the common currency for more than 300 million people living in 12 countries, inhabiting the old revived Roman Empire. It's the first time there's been a unified monetary system covering this region since the first century AD. We see the prominence and the raising up of a new Europe, and yet the Word of God tells us that the Antichrist is going to arise out of the revived Roman Empire, the new Europe. Yes, the days are coming, and we can see it all around us. Sign number 11, the increase in crime. The Word of God tells us in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13 that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We see the rise of crime all around us. Even as I'm uttering these words today, there's the sniper murderer in the Washington, D.C. area that is killing many. And we see crime all around us on the increase. Today we have the criminals out on the street and law-abiding citizens behind bars in their homes. We see the American public and movements thereof to disarm the American public, just as we saw in Hungary and in Germany and even most recently in Great Britain. And all of this is prophesied in the Word of God that evil men shall wax worse and worse. For some of you who believe that the world is getting better and better until the world gets so good that Jesus can come down and establish His kingdom, you better read your Bible a little bit closer, because the Word of God says evil men will wax worse and worse. Then I see sign number 12 prophesied in 2 Timothy chapter 3 as a mark of the last days. 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 through 4, what I call the sign of family breakdown. Here it says, "This know that in the last days perilous times, dangerous times will come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. They'll be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent." In other words, unable to restrain their passions. They'll be totally out of control. "Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-minded, proud, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." Today, 65% of marriages end in divorce. 20% of the United States population suffers from some type of venereal disease. Extramarital and homosexual relationships are considered the course of the day, even within Orange County. We see today 15 million pornographic magazines being sold yearly. An internet pornography industry is a mega million-dollar industry. We see church leadership falling prey to all of the signs of family breakdown around us. Yes, indeed, the Word of God says we're living in the last days. Then I think of sign number 13, and that's the advent of the one world church prophesied in Revelation 17. I see the evangelical and Catholic together movement promoted by well-known theologians that frankly ought to know better. We see the World Council of Churches and the National Council of Churches going forward, and the ecumenical movement and the violation and unscriptural union of believers and non-believers in what they call evangelistic enterprises. The Word of God says, be not unequally yoked together. We ought not to even touch the unclean thing. Sign number 14 of the soon coming of Christ, and that is the signs of people being lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And that's predicted in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. We see today Hollywood star worship. We see the entertainment pleasure-crazed society in which we are living in today, where individuals will finance their vacations with credit card-funded vacations and then wind up in debt the rest of the year. We even see a little bit of that in Orlando, don't we, with the entertainment center of the world. Sign number 15 of the coming of our Lord and its imminency, and that is found in Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 through 18, and that is the cashless society and the mark of the beast. In Revelation 13 and verse 16, God's word reads that the Antichrist causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell unless he has had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of that beast. It is the number of a man. His number is 666. I think of today of the ATM cards and the credit cards. Such widespread use. I find myself very rarely carrying cash because of the widespread use of ATM and credit cards, and they sure do make records very handy, don't they? Make sure you save those receipts and transactions. You can get into a lot of trouble. But you know, credit cards can be stolen. So therefore, technology is going to go a step further, and we even see it today with implants. Now, implants are used for pets, they're used for livestock, they're even being used for children and the elderly who may suffer from Alzheimer's disease. Yet the Word of God tells us that prophecy indicates that individuals will receive a mark on their hand or on their forehead, and that is going to be definitely a step within the technology that we now possess. So I want to conclude with this challenge to you. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? All of these signs that we've shared, all 15 of them, are tribulation signs. But when we see, even in the church age, these signs developing in concert together, we can certainly know that the coming of the Lord for His bride, the church, draws nigh. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? It could be today. Let me share with you four ways that you can be ready for the coming of the Lord. Number one, make sure you're saved. If you're listening to the sound of my voice through radio or our internet ministry or our pulpit ministry, whatever means you are listening to my voice today, I ask you, are you ready? If you were to die today, do you have the assurance that you would be in heaven? The Word of God says in 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you, that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." We can know that we have eternal life. How? By repenting of our sins, realizing that God so loved us that He sent Jesus Christ as the only means, the only hope, the only righteousness for our salvation. We being sinners can never be good enough, no matter how much we strive to earn or merit our salvation. But God sent His perfect Son, holy, sinless, co-eternal with the Father, who could pay the price for our eternal punishment in hell. And Jesus lived a life of purity and sinlessness, born of a virgin, never sinned, and He was the Lamb of God, pure and spotless, prophesied in the Old Testament, personified in the person of Jesus, who literally came and took upon Himself your sins and mine. And if you'll repent of your sins, acknowledge your lost condition, and come to Jesus Christ and receive Him as the one who died, who was buried, who rose again, who is coming again, and you want to receive Him as your personal Savior. The Word of God says in Romans 10:13, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Yes, make sure you're saved. The second way that you can be ready for the coming of the Lord is to make sure that as a believer, you're staying in the Word of God. I know of some believers that claim to be saved, and yet never do they open up the Word of God. The Bible, I believe, could very well be alliterated in the following way: B-I-B-L-E, basic instruction before leaving earth. How much do you love His appearing? If we love the appearing of the Lord, we're going to want to be getting our instructions from His Word. We need to be in the Word of God so that we can have our mind set on those things that are above. The Bible is God's love letter to you. One of the reasons why we're suffering in our homes and in our families today, one of the reasons why Christian young people are falling wayward to the trends and the social opinions of our day today, is that they are not being taught to be in the Word of God. Much less do they see parental example. Many churches today are following the trends of the world today, and they're not preaching the Word of God. If you're going to a church that calls itself a church and people don't bring their Bibles, messages are not centered on the expository preaching of God's Word, you need to ask yourself whether you're attending the right kind of church. Paul told Timothy, "Timothy, as a young pastor, preach the Word. Don't preach about the Word. Don't preach around the Word. Preach the content of the Word." We can be ready for the coming of the Lord by making sure you're saved, and number two, making sure that we're staying in the Word of God. Thirdly, make sure that you're sharing your faith with others who need to be saved. How can we say that we believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ? How is it that we can so confidently say that we who know Christ as Savior are born again, destined for heaven, and then not have a burden for those that have never heard? Does not it bring your heart sorrow that the Word of God says that those who do not receive Christ are faced with judgment and eternal damnation? How can we glibly speak of the doctrine of unsaved people going to a Christless eternity in hell and not be burdened to share the gospel? Listen, we're either missionaries or mission fields. There's nothing in between. We need to be missionaries concerned about those who need to be saved. You need to be attending a church that is mission-minded, not only in the Jerusalem, but unto the uttermost parts of the world. Fourthly, the fourth way that we can demonstrate that we are ready for the coming of the Lord is that we need to get involved in a good Bible-preaching church where we can use our spiritual gifts. Where every believer, the Word of God teaches, has received at least one spiritual gift. God wants you to be serving. Too many Christians, instead of standing on the promises, are sitting on the premises. Too many Christians are allowing boards and individual pastors to be the entire show. No, God has equipped us to serve and to do the work of the ministry. Let me encourage you to demonstrate these four steps today. Make sure you're saved. If you've never trusted in Christ as personal Savior, let's take that step right now, today. Pray that sinner's prayer. Make my prayer yours in these moments as we pray this prayer together with a sincere heart. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm lost. Your word says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's speaking to me. I know that I'm lost, bound for hell as a sinner. But I bow my head and call upon the name of the Lord who loved me and shed his blood on the cross on my behalf. Come into my heart, come into my life, and save me. Fill me with your power and your spirit. Help me to live a life that's pleasing to you through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within me when I call upon you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've received Christ as personal Savior, I would invite you to contact us at thestrengthfortoday.info, information that you're about to receive. If you're a believer and you haven't been in the Word of God, I'd like to offer you today a complimentary tape on how to get started right in the Christian life. You contact us. We have materials to help you. If you're not sharing your faith with others, make it a point to go to church and pick up some good gospel tracts and begin sharing your faith and leaving tracts at the restaurant or wherever you might be. And if you're not a member of a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church that preaches the whole counsel of God, I would invite you to contact us at Central Florida Bible Church. We have our open doors and open arms to receive you. Come and join us in our fellowship. Come and meet with us on Sunday, this coming Lord's Day, tomorrow, and worship with us in the house of the Lord. I'm sure you'll be glad that you came, and you'll be glad that the best will be yet to come. May God bless you, my beloved.
Thank you for listening to Strength for Today, the radio preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church that meets in the Goldenrod Civic Club, located in Winter Park, Florida, just 3 traffic lights east of Cimarron Boulevard at the intersection of Aloma and Palmetto. For more information about Central Florida Bible Church, to comment on the broadcast, to request a complimentary copy of today's message, or to listen to other messages by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. You may also call Pastor John at 407-656-9683. That's 407-656-9683. This is Charles Schaaf inviting you to come and worship with us tomorrow at the 10 a.m. Bible study classes for all ages and the 11 o'clock and 6 p.m. preaching services. Our prayer service is Wednesday at 7 p.m. May the Lord richly bless you as you go forth to serve Him.